NFTs have become very popular recently, in part helping to solve the problems that CRMs have created for marketers. You want to make sure that the partner that you choose to work with has a robust CDP environment with a lot of data. You can create an environment where you're able to communicate to people in a cohesive and seamless way.
Welcome to the Growth Genius series brought to you by DMA Asia and InfiDigit. My name is Shelley, and I'm your host. Today, our guest speaker is Gretchen Littlefield, Chief Executive Officer of More. Gretchen holds nearly three decades of experience in marketing and business management. She's responsible for More's overall growth and strategic direction, a global leader in performance-driven marketing solutions focused on all facets of the consumer experience. Her professional achievements include being named a 2009 Rising Star by Marketing Edge and 2019 Silver Apple Honoree by the Direct Marketing Club of New York. A very warm welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you.
Great. So, Gretchen, tell us about your professional journey, your current organization, and your role.
Sure. So I got into the business nearly 30 years ago. And funny story, I actually applied for a job to work as a receptionist at an organization, and I was really bad on the phones. So they fired me from that role and said, this is not for you. You're too awkward to answer the phones. And I was really sad over that because I thought, oh my gosh, my career is ending here. And that was actually a very positive thing because they put me into a group that was working with data and doing data entry and keying information. And in that environment, I started learning more about data, how to prepare files, basic data processing rules, and that evolved into a career for me and learning about modeling, how to target. And that was obviously very early days of our industry. I then moved to a company called InfoGroup and spent 14 years there growing in my career and learning about data processing, modeling, cooperative data sets, and everything else involving data. And it was just a fantastic experience. I moved to More 4 years ago as CEO. And we are a company that focuses on the entire supply chain for fundraising for nonprofits. So that's all the way in the very beginning step of strategic and creative guidance with our agencies to data management, modeling, analytics, and identifying who's the best person to target and send an offer to on behalf of our clients, as well as the production of television ads, video, digital ads, and actual direct mail, all the way to the very end of that supply chain, which is what we call caging, which is gathering data, keying, and then sending it to the beginning of the supply chain all over again. So our company is roughly 5,000 employees that are all dedicated to helping raise money for some of the largest charities and nonprofits in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you must be enjoying it.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I feel like very fortunate in that the work that we do goes to help a lot of people. And our clients, you know, when we help them raise money, what they do with that money is brings a lot of social good all around the world and in all kinds of ways, to ending poverty, to helping veterans, to helping children get a better start in life, all kinds of wonderful things, which gives me a lot of personal fulfillment.
So. I'm sure about that. So my next question is that there has been a rise on of CDPs. Can you explain what is CDP, how it's different from DMPs, and why it's important for organizations?
So CDPs have become very popular recently, in part helping to solve the problems that CRMs have created for for marketers, which, you know, CRMs are kind of slower. They tend to have very specific operational rules around how they're used. And many of our clients actually have anywhere from 4, 5, 6, sometimes even more than 10 CRMs in place, each of them with, you know, their own use case for the department that they are serving. DMPs are traditionally using third-party data and cookies. They're sometimes less accurate. They're not as fast moving. In contrast, a CDP is typically in real time, and it's using a client's first-party data as well as sometimes third-party data. I think of it as being an environment where you're able to integrate lots of different data sources in real time and activate that data as quickly as possible.
Okay. So what type of customer data marketers can integrate into CDPs?
Well, really any kind of data. So like the best case example is a marketer that has lots of different sources of data that are siloed and they're trying to figure out how do they get a 360 view of a customer across a lot of different platforms, right? So typically someone has an eCRM, they'll have a CRM for maybe their publications, another CRM, they'll have another CRM for a different use case. The ideal situation is being able to warehouse that data across all of those different CRMs or lots of different data platforms that they may have, consume it in one environment and mash it down to an identity of one or a record of one. So if you think you've got Shelly on this database here and Shelly on that database, and then you've got her on another database over here, as well as some other third-party source of data that you're using, it's like one giant merge purge environment that never stops, that's unifying you down to one record across all of those data sources. And then in that environment, we're able to activate it much faster. So, you know, you can imagine you've got, right now, there are a lot of organizations that truly can spend like months trying to get all of their different data sources to communicate with each other. In this environment, you're communicating in real time, matching down to a single record and able to activate it much, much faster. It's really data unification is the way to think of it.
Great. So I'm also wondering that, are there any barriers to achieving a single customer view?
There are. And, you know, the number one is siloed databases, the ability to match. So you want to make sure that the partner that you choose to work with has a robust CDP environment with a lot of data and where you're able to match across multiple different match keys. So that could be email addresses, it could be your physical address, historical physical addresses, maybe your address from where you were, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, or most people have somewhere between 7 to 8 different email addresses they use for different use cases. Having all of those email addresses connected to each other down to one level, as well as phone numbers and cell phone numbers. Those are also match keys for identified. So it's having enough data and match keys available that you're able to consolidate that data down to a single record.
Wow, that's great. So another question which comes to my mind is that, how can you optimize a customer lifecycle management with CDP?
So it's the ideal situation to manage lifecycle management because, you know, when you're thinking about lifecycle, you're thinking about how you're going to communicate and build that journey for your customer across channels, right? And if you don't have all of the information from all of the different channels consolidated into one view, it's very difficult to be able to activate that data across all of your channels. So in a CDP environment, you're able to, again, consolidate all of your data. It's a terrific environment to model within as well, bringing in third party, matching it with your first party data and modeling it and then activating it, because all of those solutions are cloud-based. You're able to build pipes out to both your ESP, for text, and also for direct mail and all channels really, and activate that data much faster from that kind of environment. And the other thing to think about too is it creates an environment where you don't have to get rid of the CRMs, right? As everyone knows, inside of most organizations, nobody wants to leave their CRM. And quite often they do have functionality that's important to the department that they're servicing. Yeah. So if you're able to build out a data architecture that allows people to keep their CRMs for the use cases that they were intentionally designed for, it's an inexpensive way to be able to bring all that data together from all of the CRMs and activate it in that environment without having to deal with disruption to current workflows inside of a company. You also don't have all the political issues of who gets to keep their database, who doesn't, and all that stuff. So,
yeah, interesting. My another question is on privacy. So, you know, privacy laws are changing all the time. In USA, there are so many different privacy laws. And what role privacy is playing in the data-driven marketing with CDPs?
So there's a lot of changes that are happening, and it's evolving very quickly. Each state has different legislation around data and privacy rules. It's important to be up on what the laws are by each state. We have an entire team of people that are watching legislation, making sure that we are complying with the law. A really good rule of thumb is kind of to follow, that's common sense, which is if a consumer asks you to remove their name or not to market to them for any reason, honor that request. So, you know, if somebody says, I really don't want to be receive catalogs anymore from you, make sure that you are keeping that information, honoring it. A CDP can also make sure that you're carrying that information. And if that's in that activation platform, it's an environment that you can make sure it is communicated across all of your different departments. So if you think about it, like, you know, you're bringing in information on one database, like just like we talked about at the beginning, Shelly lives on three or four different databases. Well, even if you're told to maybe take you off one department, maybe the information doesn't make its way back to the other departments. If you're launching all of your marketing activities out of a CDP, it's an environment to make sure that you are very carefully making sure you're not continuing to solicit someone who chooses not to be. You know, it's an environment that allows you to sort of cross all the different channels. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, you're right. So because this doesn't happen, right? So people don't respect when consumers, they ask not to send mails and not to send, you know, any information, then it should be respected and taken care of. Another thing which I wanted to ask is that are there any limitations or challenges of CDP?
It's some of those limitations are based upon the provider you may choose to go with, what their data sources are. You know, we have an identity graph that we've built that we use to help our clients identify who a person is across a lot of different channels, but also, you know, historical information in case you may have outdated information and or information is coming in from a third party where you're renting a list. It's able to connect, hey, this is Shelly at her old address from 5 years ago. This is the same person, right? If your partner doesn't have enough robust data, then there you will have limitations there. But as it is right now, it's CDPs are solving a lot of the problems around not having cookies, for example. So it's a terrific environment.
Great. So are there any examples which you can share with us? Any, you know, CDP use case studies or any example of a successful, you know, case study?
Sure. For Save the Children, When the war in Ukraine first started, it was putting millions of children at risk. And they Save the Children, which is an organization that we work with, asked, they wanted to launch a connected television campaign, which connected television is video that is sent, data-driven, to an individual or a household directly into their television, their smart TV. And we were able to identify people that we thought were likely to give for this type of campaign. They raised a whole lot of money within our CDP environment, mm-hmm. using our data and being able to target people on television as well as in the mail very, very quickly. So the great thing about like a CDP is that it allows you to create almost like a surround sound experience. So, you know, you imagine your customer is, they're opening the mail, they're seeing, you know, the ad there. They're also seeing your ads on television. It's being directed just to them. And on, you know, email and display. So everywhere they go, they have a cohesive experience where they're getting relevant information about you that's targeted to them specifically. And to Save the Children, they raised millions of dollars using this type of strategy. You know, it, for marketing, being able to target people in a way that's relevant to them is probably one of the most important things you can do, but also being able to reach people just everywhere that they're going to go with that relevant data and, you know, relevant content is super important.
Yeah. And with CDP, you can do that, right? It's awesome. It's really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you can create an environment where it's, you're able to communicate to people in a cohesive and seamless way. So imagine you're able to tell your customers as a marketer that give them a vision for who you are across every single channel. And then as they're responding to you, again, you're able to respond back in a cohesive way. That's what a CDP does. You know, it's awesome.
It's great. So yeah. What are the top three local and global trends which you are seeing in your industry or data-driven marketing?
So I would say the first is omnichannel marketing. You know, that again, being able to speak to customers in a way that's completely, you know, across every channel, and it lifts response in all of those channels when you're using all of them. So if you're using direct mail and you're doing connected television, mm-hmm. it will actually lift the response of both when you're doing both. So that, again, surround sound experience is a trend. The typical three V's, which are volume, velocity, and variety, with velocity being the most important right now, the speed in which you're able to use data and respond to people. Someone takes an action online or they're in market at that particular moment, how quickly you're able to respond to them is extremely important. And the variety of data that people are ingesting now and using is extremely important. At one time it was just, you know, single channel. Now people are ingesting data from all channels, but in all different ways. And then also modeling into new audiences of prospective customers that may have historically not been reached before. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure you've seen how in ads and in marketing, how people are starting to sort of open the lens as to the type of people that are being featured in ads. It's the same thing in modeling and data and analytics, is modeling for people that are non-traditional customers. There are people that, you know, that they may have not historically modeled into because they did not look like their previous customers.
Yeah.
But we know they have still the possibility of giving or buying. Those are the types of people that people want to reach now. And it's growth. It's an amazing thing. The audience of people that you can market to is growing in a way that I've never seen before. It's super exciting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So looking at these trends, what the marketer should do in the horizon of 2 to 5 years or the near future?
Personalization is going to become really important. And I think people are going to start as marketers are becoming more advanced in how they're targeting people with different offers, consumers are going to expect that the ads they receive are going to be personalized to them and also make sense, right? So you don't want to market, certain products to people when they don't make any sense for their life stage, right? So that level of personalization, but also relevancy, is going to become increasingly important. And consumers will expect that companies, and any marketer really, knows something about them and is marketing to them in an appropriate way that's logical. Data hygiene is going to be, which sounds like it's not a particularly advanced thing that's been around for a long time, is going to become increasingly important, and being able to keep information up to date. And then integration is probably the single greatest opportunity, which is bringing together siloed sets of data, integrating them, and delivering the same sort of creative and content regardless of channel. One of the things, and I know it sounds like I'm, continuing to talk about this integration and surround sound and how important it is, but what happens right now is that when programs are not integrated, you'll see an organization communicate differently based on the channel. And it's because there are databases that are not speaking to each other and departments that are siloed within an organization. And if you're speaking to consumers in one way in direct mail and a completely different way in the tone and the creative and the offer online, it's going to start to feel disjointed to customers. So this integrating data sets, but overall strategy of how you communicate and building out a journey for how you're going to communicate to somebody so it's logical, is going to become something that's not a nice to have, but a necessity. And if you don't do it, customers will feel like something is strange, when you're communicating in different ways to them. Oh my passion. Separate from data, I have a passion for philanthropy and giving back. It's been a big part of my life and my family life as well, and politics as well. That's the sport I love more than anything else. And I think, I'm very fortunate in that my job allows me to follow those passions. So. On LinkedIn is a great place to connect, and you can also find us at wearemore.com. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.